treaty with Egypt since 1979 and has the best relationship with it of all Middle East countries. David Horowitz, the editor of the Jerusalem Post, has expressed the mass panic in Israel, saying that the pro-democracy movement in Egypt represented a colossal psychological blow and that, quote, concrete strategic assumptions were liquefied almost overnight. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is one of many active Egyptian political movements, have accused Mubarak of putting the interests of Israel and the United States over those of Egyptians. But it is not clear if the mostly young, largely secular educated Egyptians necessarily have an agenda on Israel. However, Al Jazeera reported on Friday that a mass protest was held near Gaza on the Egyptian side of Rafah in solidarity with Egyptians. At least 50,000 people were reported to have marched. Gazans had also reportedly been providing Egyptian soldiers with food aid in a bizarre reversal of roles given the brutal Israeli blockade of Gaza. Meanwhile, over the weekend, a meeting of the so-called Quartet on Middle East Peace took place in Germany. Israeli and Palestinian negotiators met with representatives from the US, the EU, Russia, and the United Nations. Israel has apparently agreed to take some steps towards improving conditions for Palestinians, including development of a gas field, a power plant, and desalination plants. Joining me in studio this morning is Jeff Halper. He is co-founder and director of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. He's a leading proponent of nonviolent peace actions in Israel. He's the author of several books, including An Israeli in Palestine, Resisting Dispossession, Redeeming Israel. And he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by the American Friends Service Committee. He's in Los Angeles for a number of events. Welcome to Uprising, Jeff Halper.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, the situation in Egypt seems the most relevant to what's happening in Israel today on the international scale. Israelis are supposed to be pro-democracy. They laud the values of democracy. Shouldn't they be happy to see democracy unfold in Egypt?
Well, you know, it's hard to convey to people how much Israel is not a part of the Middle East. I mean, Israel sees itself as a kind of a Singapore. It's oriented towards, it's unfortunately located in the Middle East, but its back, not only its border, but the wall that it's building, which is twice as high as the Berlin Wall, really kind of symbolizes how it's turned its back to the Arab world, and it faces Europe. And actually, Europe's kind of in the way because it would rather face the United States directly. And it sees itself as a Western country, a kind of a bastion of the West or an enclave of the West in the Middle East. So it's absolutely disconnected from Middle Eastern politics, what happens. You know, what's funny is that in 2002, the entire Arab League unanimously said to Israel, we will make peace with you, we will integrate you into the Middle East if you give up the occupied territories and allow a Palestinian state to emerge. Thinking that was a great offer, little knowing that that's Israel's greatest nightmare, is to be a part of the Middle East. Israel really, sincerely wants to be a part of the European Union. So that's really the issue. And what they said in the Jerusalem Post, which is very revealing, it's a very right-wing but mainstream newspaper, the fact that, the pro-democracy forces are endangering Israel really shows how absolutely out of step that country is with what's going on in its own region.
And explain for listeners the role that Egypt has played in Israel's stability. Why is this so important?
Well, Israel couldn't have, first of all, dreamed of a better American president than George Bush. And Obama's not doing bad in his footsteps for Israel. And it couldn't have dreamed of a better Arab president than Mubarak. I mean, Mubarak was absolutely a client of the United States. And in some ways, he wasn't pressured by the United States. He really developed extremely close ties, even personal ties, with the Israeli leaders. His security forces were on extremely intimate terms with the Israeli security forces. We have to remember that, you know, Gaza is a cage. It's been absolutely, I mean, they're sending in trucks. The Israelis are counting how many calories men, women, and children eat in Gaza. It's almost like a scientific laboratory with guinea pigs. It's really unbelievable. But Israel only controls three of the borders. One of them is controlled by Egypt. You couldn't have had a blockade on Gaza had it not been for this quisling, I would say, Egyptian government. And so Israel really has a big stake in a government like Mubarak's succeeding him And I don't think there's any chance that that's going to happen, no matter what the government is.
Do you think Israelis are more comfortable with, barring not having Hosni Mubarak as president, they would actually be more comfortable with a Muslim Brotherhood leadership than an unpredictable democratic leadership? Because Islamic fundamentalism is something that they can easily cast as the bogeyman. They have experience doing that.
No, that's true. I think, first of all, it's, again, hard for me to convey how disconnected Israelis are from the Middle East. I don't think they have an opinion. I don't think they care. They kind of rely on the Israeli army, and they rely on the American Congress to protect them. And that's it. They really don't care what goes on in Egypt. I think it's true that they're more familiar and they're more comfortable with this conflict. You know, when the Oslo peace process happened, it was a real paradigm shift. All of a sudden, they see Rabin on the White House lawn shaking hands with Arafat. They went into a paradigm panic. And they were bumper stickers in Israel. This is a nightmare peace. And then when Rabin's assassinated, Peres succeeds him and so on. And in 96, when there's elections, they went back to Netanyahu. Netanyahu, for them, was going back to the comfortable paradigm we know. It's good guys and bad guys, the Arabs are all terrorists, all that kind of stuff, and since then we've had right-wing governments. So yes, I would say, in fact, Israel would be on much more comfortable grounds with a Muslim Brotherhood, especially because, again, I don't see whatever government emerges in Egypt, a government that's going to be so cooperative, so much of a partner with Israel against the Palestinian people. I think any Egyptian government that wants any legitimacy from its own... I mean, the Palestinians aren't the only issue here. This isn't why Egypt is up in arms. But the Palestinians are kind of a touchstone. And no Egyptian government will have legitimacy in the eyes of its own people, I believe, if it continues to be a party to the oppression of the Palestinians.
That's not to say that the pro-democracy protesters are anti-Israel necessarily, is it?
I don't think Israel really plays in that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Israel's not the only issue in the Middle East. We sometimes see the entire Middle East through the prism of Israel and the Palestinian conflict. No, but I do think that the Palestinians for the much of the Arab world really symbolize that problem. The fact that their governments are required, if they want American military aid, to be pro-Israel and cooperate. But more than that, the very reality that this massive military aid is coming into this unstable area. So people don't have anything to eat. They don't have jobs. The economies are in terrible shape. And, you know, Egypt gets $30 billion over 10 years of American military aid is a terrible... It distorts their entire lives. So I think the Palestinian issue certainly plays in because it perpetuates that instability upon which the militarism is based, upon which development simply cannot... and democracy cannot take place in the Middle East.
Jeff Halper, do you have any optimism around these quartet talks? Since the peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians have essentially stalled and can, for all accounts, be written off given the issue of the intractability over settlement building, the so-called quartet that has just met in Germany is claiming that they should be taken seriously and that this can be a new avenue for peace. Is there any hope in that?
No. Forget the quartet. Quartet's been meeting for years. It has absolutely no effect. And I think that, you know what? If you go to the State Department today and you ask Hillary Clinton, is the roadmap initiative that the quartet is supposed to be shepherding, is it still alive? Is there a roadmap initiative? She'll look at you blankly. Because, in other words, the mechanism is alive, but the entire process... the entire framework, the roadmap process is dead. There is no more roadmap process. And so, in a sense, it's just kind of, it's going through the motions. I think what's happening, in fact, is that the United States is getting left in the dust. I think other forces are arising. I think there's forces inside Europe that say we have to stop this submission to the United States, and Europe, Cyprus recognized a Palestinian state within the 67 borders last week. There's about 10 other European countries poised to do that. Forget the EU part of the quartet. The Latin American countries almost all recognize a Palestinian state. They're completely outside of the quartet. And you have Turkey. You have China that's becoming involved. Russia is actually talking about leaving the quartet because it sees it as so counterproductive. So I think this quartet is a thing of the past. And I think that, in fact, if the United States doesn't move on this issue, and it can't move on this issue, the United States cannot deliver peace in the Middle East, in the Israeli-Palestinian context, because of Congress. Congress will absolutely not allow a president to put the pressures on Israel necessary for any kind of just resolution. And therefore, this whole peace process, the roadmap, the quartet are all irrelevant. And I think the rest of the world is going to start asserting itself, and the United States will be left in the dustbin of history somewhere.
I'm speaking with Jeff Halper, co-founder and director of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. He joins us in studio this morning, and he is on a speaking tour here in the Southern California area region. This noon, he's going to be speaking at UCLA. You can find out the entire schedule of his events at kpfk.org. Well, I want to bring up this issue of outside countries recognizing Palestine. The Latin American countries, it's amazing to see one country after another recognizing Palestine as a legitimate state. How did this come about? What do you think? I mean, given that Latin America is geographically far away, doesn't necessarily have policy interests, how do you explain this phenomenon?
Well, I think this conflict, the Israel-Palestine conflict, is not simply a localized one between two peoples somewhere in some corner of the world. It's really a global conflict. I mean, certainly when you talk about Jerusalem, you talk about the humiliation of Islam that comes about through the West's support of Israel vis-a-vis Palestinian claims, and then you get into Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and so on. If you put all that stuff, and the solidarity the Muslims have with each other, if you put that all together, it's really the core of the alienation of the Muslim world from the West. And it's really disruptive of the entire global system. You know, this has to do with oil. There's several wars going on. You know, with Iran, there's nuclear, and Israel, of course, there's nuclear issues here. But the Palestinians, I think, have become the symbol for the peoples of the world of resistance to imperialism. I mean, this might sound kind of slogany, but I think it's really true. Resistance to militarism, resistance to this kind of American neocolonialism. I think even in Europe, there's a reaction toward their own governments being so submissive to the United States.
And you were saying that even there are many European countries on the verge of recognizing Palestine?
That's right. There's at least 10 countries, among them probably Britain and maybe France.
Wow.
That are on the verge of, the United States is trying to hold them back. And the States has a lot of clout. You know, the American role in the world is absolutely unitary. It has one card. It does one thing in the world, and that's military. You know, the Pentagon budget is close to $1 trillion a year. The Americans pour $30 billion a year of new arms into the world. So that, you know, the Americans have no diplomacy. They certainly have no foreign policy based on justice. They can't deal with issues like the Palestinian issue because their whole foreign policy is based on militarism that is intended to turn the entire world into a place where capital flow and resources go to the United States. I mean, the Americans are 6% of the world's population, and they use a third of the world's resources every year. So they're on the wrong side, and the American people don't know. I don't think militarism and the Pentagon is really an American issue, but it is an issue in the world. Countries are seeing themselves being exploited. They're losing their resources. They get attacked by the United States if they dare to oppose any policies. They're pressured all the time. And I think the Palestinians are this little tiny grain of sand that's gotten into and messed up the entire works. And I think that gives a lot of encouragement to other peoples that want human rights and they want equality and they want their own resources. And the United States is not playing a good role in this.
Jeff Halper, you gave a talk this weekend entitled 2011 will be the crunch year for Israel and Palestine. What do you mean by the crunch year?
What I mean is that this entire occupation, this entire conflict, that again is so disruptive to the entire global system, and really isolates the United States. I mean, I don't think Americans realize how much their identification with the Israeli occupation isolates them in the international community. And the United States is seen as being hostile to human rights in general because of its defense of these indefensible policies of occupation. But the entire occupation rests on a very certain constellation of political factors. You know, a very strong United States, and Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan that are somehow quieted and under control, and Iran that isn't nuclear, a China that's kind of passive and contained, you know, a quartet that somehow is keeping everything under control, a Palestinian Authority that's very quiescent, almost collaborative, Mubarak. I mean, all the, you know, and in the world today, almost every one of those factors is changing. The whole geopolitical reality is absolutely undergoing an upheaval here on every level. And the Palestinian people themselves have not been pacified, despite the Israeli military and the walls and the settlements and everything else. So I think in this situation where there is no political process, where the United States is losing its status in the world, I think the Palestinian Authority is going to resign or collapse, and the entire occupation, in my view, is going to get thrown back in the lap of the United States and Israel. You have to understand, the world sees this occupation not as an Israeli occupation, as an American Israeli occupation. Israel couldn't sustain it for a month without the United States, and that collapse of the Palestinian Authority, I think, is going to mean the reoccupation of the Palestinian territories by Israel, which will be so violent and so disruptive in the entire Muslim world and beyond that it's going to force the hand of the international community and maybe and probably bypass the United States. I think the United States and Israel are going to remain these two outposts of resistance to justice and change. The United States is not a part of this world. And it's the bully of the world, in fact. And so it's really going to be telling for the entire future of the United States what position it takes when this whole thing collapses. Are they going to be a part of the world and try to reconstruct Israel-Palestine in a more just way? Or are they going to keep resisting and the rest of the world will simply do it without the United States?
I'm speaking with Jeff Halper, co-founder and director of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. He's here in Southern California for a number of events. Joining me in studio now, well, the Palestine Papers exposed the complicity and the quiescence, as you said, of the Palestinian Authority. From the outside, it seems as though Palestinians only have two choices to represent themselves, Hamas and the PA. You know, Hamas has its own set of issues, and the PA is clearly not doing, you know, is not cut out for this. So do you feel that then this political vacuum that may result from a potential collapse of the PA is going to really leave Palestinians without any major leadership that could represent them? And this could also play into any sort of violent near future?
Well, in my view, I mean, I don't want to represent Palestinians. I'm not a Palestinian, so I have to be very careful. But in my view, at least, I don't think most Palestinians, the vast majority, support the ideological or religious programs of Hamas. But they support Hamas in the sense because it's the only force that's resisting the occupation. Fatah and the Palestinian Authority have completely caved in a sense. They're very weak. And I accuse them of being weak, actually. I mean, they are weak, and it's not their fault in a sense, because Israel has eliminated all the competent Palestinian leaders. They're either dead or in prison. But the fact that, but they do have leverage. There are thousands of organizations abroad, like you guys, human rights organizations, political organizations, media, critical media, church groups, unions, intellectuals, I think the Palestinian issue is one of the two or three major issues in the world. The Palestinian leadership that's weak could mobilize that international support, and it doesn't. The Palestinian leadership could go to the UN. I mean, Brazil recognizes you, could go to the UN and unilaterally declare a state. In the UN and the entire world, maybe except the United States would recognize them. What they're doing is they could claim their rights. What they're doing is they're sitting in these back rooms and letting Israel dictate to them. They can't deliver anything. They can't oppose anything. They're just weak, and they're not using the leverage they have. So I think they should go by the boards. I don't think that Hamas will fill the vacuum in that sense. I think the Palestinian people are really left leaderless, which is why the international community, and especially the people like us, have to intervene. But certainly Israel, that likes its boogeymen, the Muslim Brotherhood and all that stuff, will not allow Hamas to fill the breach. And that's why I think it's going to have to, if it's allowed to by the United States, it'll have to reoccupy the occupied territories. And at some point, a new Palestinian leadership is going to have to emerge, but it has to emerge, I think, with the support of the peoples of the world. The Palestinians are just too... Israel is too strong on the ground, militarily. The control is too great to allow that Palestinian evolution to happen on its own.
Finally, Jeff Halper, what about inside Israel? I mean, we're seeing all the solidarity, even on a state level outside the Israeli-Palestinian areas. We're seeing tremendous growth in solidarity movements internationally. And, of course, resistance continues in Palestine. What about inside Israel? Is the movement for peace with Palestinians increasing?
No. No. I mean, first of all, look, I would say that the vast majority of Israeli Jews do support a two-state solution. They've never bought into Begin, Sharon, Netanyahu's idea of a greater land of Israel and settlements, and it's all ours, and Arabs are... they've never bought into that. But they're passive. Life in Israel is good. The economy's good. They don't see Arabs. They don't, you know, they're behind a wall. The army's taking care of them. They're living this great life, like Southern California. I mean, you wouldn't even think that you're in the Middle East. You see it in the rebranding on the Tourist Bureau of Israel, all these girls in bikinis on the beach, and it's like coming to Southern California. Mm. So that the Israelis, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, the Israelis don't give a shit.
Actually, you can't say that on the radio.
Israelis don't care. Israelis don't care because they're living such a good life, and so they're passive. So what will happen, I think, is only the international community, whether it's the United States or the United States and the rest of the world, or the rest of the world without the United States, whatever the constellation is, I think what's going to happen is that that peace has to be imposed from the outside. It's not going to come from within. The Israelis are passive. They could live for another 50 years with this situation. Mm. It's fine for them. And that's the problem we face. That's why I'm in California speaking and not in Tel Aviv.
Well, Jeff Halper, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization.
It's www.ICAHD, ICAHD, the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, .org.
ICAHD.org. Jeff Halper is the co-founder and director of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. He's a leading proponent of nonviolent peace actions in Israel, author of several books, including An Israeli in Palestine, Resisting Dispossession, Redeeming Israel. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by the American Friends Service Committee. He's going to be at UCLA at noon. He is going to be at the Islamic Center of Hawthorne at 6 p.m. today in Hawthorne. Tomorrow, he will be at UC Irvine at 11 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. at the Crystal Cove Auditorium. And then Wednesday, he is going to be at Cal State Long Beach at 2 p.m., Cal State Fullerton at 7 p.m. Details are at kpfk.org. This is Uprising After